All right. Thank you, Alicia. My, what a blessing in song. I appreciate the song service tonight. And sometimes we get a lot of messages out of the songs if we just listen to the words, especially when we sing the ones that God has blessed through the years. Amen. Open your Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I thought about reading a number of verses, but I probably will cut some of them out. But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And most of you know that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. Many things were wrong in the church that he had to correct. That's what we have here in chapter 5. And it was something known in the church that the church didn't want to face and didn't want to deal with, and in fact was kind of winking at it, I guess you'd say. And so I'm going to speak to you a little bit tonight on the problem they had there and apply it across the board. And I'm going to call it creeping gradualism. I don't think the word gradually is in the Bible, but the principle is there. Gradualism. I think that's a word. Yeah, it will be before I get through with it. Amen. You'll remember it. Sometime before breakfast we quit, you'll say, I'm glad he gradually got through. Amen. Most of us know what gradually means. If you look at the hands on the clock, and I don't want you to look at them, you can't hardly tell they're moving because they're gradually moving. But they are moving. Amen. So we kind of understand what we're talking about there in the subject. And I want you to kind of think on it like this. When something moves gradually, it moves just a little bit. It's the little things that mess up the big things. Do you know that? That's always the case. And I don't want to get hung up on all of that except to say a little mistake can be a big mistake sometime. I'm not into emails. I don't know what I'd do with my time if I was getting them. I guess somebody'd expect me to answer them, and that'd go my time right there. So I'm not into them. But I know they're a fact of life now. I understand that. I did hear about this supposed to have happened. I'm going to abridge it a little bit. But a couple in Michigan saw the bad winter coming. It was beginning to start, so they planned a vacation for Florida, South Florida. Decided to go back to where they first had their honeymoon and kind of commemorate the fact they'd been married 25 years. But due to getting all the details and the plane tickets arranged, the man went on first to find the place, get it open, get it ready for his wife, and so he did. She was going to follow on the next day. And he got down there, and he got in the room and found out now it was modernized. It had a computer in it. And so he was going to send his wife back an email. But he made one little mistake. He got the wrong address on the email. There was a lady who was just getting home after burying her husband out in, I think, Dallas, Texas. And her and her son was getting home after the sudden funeral. And she walked in and turned on her computer to see if she had any emails. And sure enough, she did. She screamed and she fell to the floor. And her son come in and he read on the email, "From your husband, I have arrived where you expected me to. Things are set up for you to arrive tomorrow." And it's even hotter here than I expected. She screamed, hit the floor. One little mistake. Amen. Little things make a difference. Amen. Let's pick it up here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leavening leaveneth the whole lump? That's repeated again in Galatians 5, verse 9. A little leavening leaveneth the whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leavening, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leavening, neither with the leavening of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, my thought tonight on this danger of creeping gradualism is in this little thought here: a little leavening leaveneth the whole lump. Now, the ladies know a little bit more about that, but it doesn't take much in the dough, in the bread mix, to make a difference in it. And the Lord is referring, you could go to Matthew 16 and Luke 12 and some other places and read about how the Lord warned his disciples about the leavening of the Pharisees and the bad doctrine that it was and the danger that it was, how if they just let a little bit in, it would grow and it would creep. And the next thing you know, the whole lump is infiltrated with it, or the whole doctrine is messed up. The whole truth has been polluted. That's what the Lord is really saying about that. You see, there's many things that cannot be done at once without people spotting it. But if you let it sort of creep in, you can't do it too sudden, but you can gradually ease it in. That's the way apostasy gets in. We've all heard the story. I've never tried it. I've heard the story, and you have too, that put a frog in hot water, he'll jump out. But put him in lukewarm water and gradually increase the heat, and you'll get a boiled frog. I've never tried it. I did put a couple of frogs in my mama's bathtub one time when I was in the seventh grade. Big old bullfrogs I caught out of Lake Eva down here. I did it with a purpose. We were supposed to dissect a frog, and I did. But Mama dissected me too when she come in and found those bullfrogs in the bathtub. But we're talking about something easing in that's wrong. Something that you couldn't get in suddenly, it would be spotted. But something that creeps in. Jude 4 talks about certain men creeping in unawares. Just moving in quietly. You see, gradualism is deceitful. It's a deceitful form of change. It will make a change. It just eases into it. It just comes gradually. And we see all this going on today, and we've got a new term today. We've been using it now for a number of years. I hate it, but it's political correctness. And political correctness is nothing but creeping in things gradually that we're now tolerating, that we used to abhor and used to would reject. But they've just come in easy on us now, to the place that now we're accepting it because it's easier to get along than it is to resist it. That's what's happening. The media keeps using and repeating words like hate crimes and profiling and homophobia, that sort of stuff. Now, homophobia means fear of homosexuals. I'm against them. I reject it. I take the Bible position. It's an abomination. But hear me good. I don't fear them. In fact, if one touches me, he best fear me. Amen. So I'm not fearful of them. I'm just repulsed by them. I just don't like it. Somebody says, well, you're homophobic. See, that's a word to dodge whether it's right or wrong. See, that's a word that's been brought in. The issue is not, is it a good thing or a bad thing? The fact is, if you're afraid of it, you must be wrong. That's a bunch of junk. Of course, it's a bunch of ridiculous stuff. And profiling. Hey, listen to me. We all profile. Every day we live, we profile. If I'm walking down the street and I see two human beings approaching me, I'll profile whether one of them's a man or a woman. And even this day, I can still profile and tell the difference. Pretty much. Honestly. We all profile. So that's a bad word now. I've been in the security line, fixing to go in it again this week in the airport, and I want to tell you something. They need to do some profiling. There's a crowd there they need to take a second look at. And quit worrying about the grandmas and the babies. Start worrying about the Osama bin Ladens that come through, amen? But profile's a bad word now. Now, what they're saying today is that, the media keeps using this and claiming it to be moderation, like gay marriage. What's the saying? Live and let live. No, what that's doing is changing our culture. And especially messing with our young people's minds. You see, when we tolerated in this generation, listen to me, what one generation tolerates, the next generation embraces. And that's exactly where we're at now. You see, the truth is they're in for radical change, and they are making radical change, but they're doing it gradual enough that they're getting by with it. It's not doing it all at once, but it's moving that way. It's moving that way. And so the little leaven is leaveneth the whole lump. Now, Paul was telling the church here at Corinth, if you leave this fornicator in there, if you wink at it, you smile at it, and you condone it, the next thing you know, the whole church will be filled with it. Little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, is what he was saying. And he was telling them to get rid. He said, turn the guy over to Satan. Now, there's probably evidence in 2 Corinthians, the second letter, that maybe this guy got right and repented. And I think maybe you can read that into it. But he would not have had he not been confronted. See? Because this whole thing was just gradually moving in, and the church at Corinth was winking at it. It's not so bad. We can tolerate it. Live and let live. All that stuff is the devil's trick. It started in the Garden of Eden when he said, yea, hath God said. He didn't call God a liar. He didn't say God is wrong. He just put a question mark on it. Gradual insinuation that there might be another way. Maybe you are interpreting what God said too literal. And that's the gradualism that I'm talking to you about tonight. Now, it's working today. It's working quietly, but it's working greatly in our day. It's working in our government. Oh, my soul, it's trying to control everything. It's gaining. It's creeping, like they say, some of the glaciers move so many inches a year. Well, I want to tell you, this government thing is getting faster and faster and faster. And this gradualism has moved in our education system, in our schools. It's amazing what we would have rejected and what our forefathers and teachers of old would have said no to is being accepted today. The homo agenda is in the classroom. The Islam agenda is in the classroom. Yes, this right here is from David Caton. I know him, or some of you do. He heads up the Florida Family Association here in Florida, and he's got a warning out here. Very real. He's saying that Tampa, over here, is heading for the same situation that they have in Detroit, Michigan, Dearborn. Here's what he's saying. The Islamization of Tampa is not far behind that of Dearborn, Michigan. Now, this is close home, folks. He is saying here that CAIR, C-A-I-R, that's the Islam organization. By the way, they are lobbying Congress. They are getting your tax money to do it with. And gradually, they are moving their influence in, and yet at the same time, they have sponsored terrorists. They are the same mindset to set up the kingdom of Islam and to take over America. That's what this group is. Now, I'll get to read you some of this. This group on American Islamic Relations, that's CAIR, has been invited several times to the high school in Tampa, and I won't use the name of it, to indoctrinate children with Islamic propaganda, including Sharia law. But the Tampa Tribune, your newspaper, has criticized family groups for being against it. That's close home. Gradually moving in. El Arian over there that Bill Riley exposed on his program several years ago, and he finally wound up in court and finally did get deported. That man actually used my name for preaching like I'm preaching now over in a rally in Tampa, Islamic rally, and all those stupid mental midgets that joined in that crowd with him. But anyway, say, why did he use your name? Because I'm against that stuff. I'm a guy that said, I don't want it gradual. I don't want it fast. I don't want it gradual. I don't want it peered. Amen. And so I got official notice in one of his meetings over there. The truth of the matter is, this is happening, but it's happening gradual enough that Americans are buying it. Like the frog, they're being boiled, but they don't feel the heat yet. Now he goes on to say, Tampa has a very large population of Muslims. We've had numerous public officials embrace various political aspects of Islamist extremism and changes of policy that trend towards Sharia. Tampa is at risk. It is one of the top five cities that are at risk in our nation. Dearborn, Michigan is leading the way. So much so that some people are calling the new name of Dearborn, Michigan, is Dearbornistan, like Pakistan. Isn't that amazing? Dearborn has almost lost 50% of their population to Arabic Muslim communities and taking over and all that. Folks, I'm just saying, gradually evil keeps creeping in. Creeping in. While I'm on that, I got in my filing cabinet here all kind of stuff. Our president, our White House, is borrowing money that we don't have and borrowing it from China to give to Islam. Facts and figures. Plenty of them. $80 billion. How about that? That's just pocket change, right? To support Egypt, where we removed Mubarak, where the Muslim Brotherhood is taking over, $80 billion of our tax dollars going to support this stuff? We're talking about folks that cut our throat, except for our soldier boys. What in the world is going on here? And we're giving it to them, we're giving it to Syria, and at the same time, part of us, even in the Congress, is threatening Syria with armed action. Yet at the same time, we send them our tax money to support the government. I mean, how crazy can it get? Facts and figures. Borrow it from China because we don't have it. The Arab Spring has to be supported. You've heard the president speak well of the Arab Spring. What is the Arab Spring? Well, they were overthrowing some dictators and replacing them with worse in most cases. And we are going to finance it. We are financing it. That is a terrible, terrible, ridiculous shame. But the government, how do they do it? Creep in. How do they do it? Gradually move it. We've got our republic being replaced with a mob, so-called democracy, that believes they are owed entitlements. And it's crept into the place that folks listening to me on Radio Land right now, and maybe some of you, say, well, that's good. The government owes it to me. They don't owe you anything. They don't create anything. They don't produce any products. Before they can give you anything, I've got to take it from somebody else. In the old days, that would have been called thievery. Amen? Would have. But now it's crept into the place that most of us, if we're not careful, we'll say, oh, it's okay. Do you understand? We have crossed a line in America where over 50% is on the take and under 50% are producing. That can't last. It's not lasting. No wonder the deficit keeps crawling. But it creeps in. Our freedom's being stole by osmosis. Just kind of slowly moving. Just kind of easing in. We got the Second Amendment. We got a right to our guns. Amen. But wait a minute. There's a crowd out there that wants to disarm you and I and take that right away and take that freedom away. Now, they can't do it right up front. But little bit by little bit, regulation by regulation, whether it's the gun or the ammunition or whatever, next thing you know, you got all these hoops to jump through, all these papers to fill out before you can own a gun. You're losing the right. You're losing the freedom. It's amazing. Somebody says, but a gun is bad. The gun is no better or no worse than who's got it in his hand. You say, well, recently we had a young black man shot. The gun did it. Yeah. No, there's a whole two sides to that thing. And the truth may not yet be out. The gun didn't have anything to do with it. It was neutral. Good gun, bad gun? Not too far from here, some years ago, and I know the couple, knew them for many years. A man knocked on the door. Daylight still. He wanted to use the telephone. The couple had gotten on up in years, and the man in particular was a little bit feeble, and his wife was standing back there, and she was suspicious that this guy was up to no good at the door. So the husband, instead of letting him come in, he kept wanting to come in to use the telephone. Instead of letting him come in, he got the portable phone and brought it to the door and stuck it out to him. And when he did, the guy shoved him back in, attacked. But the little old wife picked up a mean, bad gun, and she shot him between the eyes. Amen and amen and amen. No, that wasn't a bad gun. It was a good gun. It was a good gun that saved a couple of lives. And they still save lives today, but that don't make the headlines. And if you've been out there brainwashed, gradually moved in to where guns are bad, you've been gradually fooled. You've been gradually selling out your freedom, gradually moving where that crowd wants you to move instead of standing where your forefathers stood. Amen. I'm enjoying myself tonight. But you know what? Gradually, the government's moving us. Gradually now we are moving into having our social values changed. Social acceptance. We're to the place now, I saw in the paper, I guess, this week or on the news, where this used to be a man went through surgery. And now the thing calls itself a woman. And the discussion was whether or not she could enter a beauty contest as a woman. And it showed her picture, painted up, fixed up, spent a lot of money to look that cheap, I'm sure. But anyhow, you know what? She's accepted. Gradually moved it in. You got this woman on TV that I think has her own show or whatever, Helen DeGeneres. I call her Helen Degenerate. It shows her in commercials and other things on your TV. Y'all better just relax. I see two or three of you that's all tensed up. You don't know where I'm going. I have a general idea, but if I'm not 100% sure myself, but you might as well let your suit and seatbelt loose and relax. But anyway, somebody says she's pretty. How can a lesbian be pretty? There's something wrong with your genes. Not mine. It's repulsive to me. But gradually it's being accepted. Gradually it's moving in. Gradually it's okay. And gradually you begin to think your pastor may just be a little too hard. A little bit of bigotry in Dr. Carter. No, there's not a little bit. There's a bunch. There's a big pile of it when it comes to this mess that we're being told we got to accept today, and they're gradually pushing it in on us and destroying old America that we knew.
Our social values are being changed little by little. No stigma now on shacking up. Why, Hollywood sets the example. Huh? You know, the hated, most hated commandment God ever stated was, thou shalt not commit adultery. Number 7, if you're counting. You know, we're supposed to accept that. We've lost the value of human life. It's lost in Islam. I mean, they'll blow themselves up and all that business, but we've lost it in America. That, you know how we done? We had it creep in under women's rights. Murder the babies. You see, at first it was repulsive. At first we were against it. At first we abhorred it. But then they said, but how about in the case of rape? Well, so we tolerate a little here and a little there and a little, and next thing you know, it's full blown. And since 1973, millions of babies have been murdered. But you say, well, there's an exception, and that exception is the way they gradually moved. That's the way they got you. Social values being changed. Human life losing its values. Yet now it's moved to the place that not only do you accept the abortion on demand, but now you help pay for it with your tax money. And you pay for the contraceptives even if you happen to be a church. You got some employees in Christian school or whatever you got them employed for, they got a right for you to pay for their contraception. That's what Washington's trying to move on us. That's exactly what they're trying to do. Move it that way, gradually bring it on in, little by little. That's the way it works. You see, the soap operas, you know what I'm talking about. One, you know, whatever the names are, as the world or as the stomach turns or whatever the name of it is. You've had housewives sit at home and watch that stuff to the place they feel cheated if they're not having their own affair. They're missing something. Gradualism. Moving it in gradually. Little by little. Bit by bit. I want to say to you here, that's the way all sin gets started. If you're working in an office, if you're working on the job, if you're working around the opposite sex, if you got some interaction, you better be careful that it don't start small. You better watch out for the little innocent flirtations. You better watch out for just a few key words that you shouldn't use, because that's the way the devil starts it, gradually, gradually, gradually. Next thing, it's not a word, it's a touch. And the next thing you know, it seems like the thing to do. And disaster comes. Little by little, gradually, gradually. Oh, we've all seen it. Say, what's the answer to it, preacher? Barney Fife is the answer. What did he say? Give it to me.
Nip it in the bud.
It's not in the Bible, but it ought to be. Now I'm joking with you a little bit. How do you prevent it? Nip it in the bud. Don't let it happen. Don't let it start. Don't let it gradually begin. You say, I don't like that preaching. Well, stay with me a little bit. It might gradually wear on you. Amen. The truth of the matter is, some stuff is gradually wearing on the best of God's people, and we don't even know it. I've seen in the time I've pastored, I've seen opinions begin to tolerate something and then finally almost be for it. When it was wrong to start with, very wrong to start with, but it kept moving and it kept moving, it kept being tolerated, and now gradually it's moved on over here. And now somebody like me looks like he's out of place. What world is he living in? I'm living in the one that was right before you move from it. Amen. No, we're seeing it happen in our social values. We see it happen in our churches. I see a signboard. I hate these things. I pass by churches and see the liberalism on the signboard. I can imagine where it is inside the building. I've seen a sign on a used to be a Baptist church that said, not your grandpa's church. I want to say something to that. Not God's either. Amen. Not God's church either. Amen. No, it's moved to where grandpa had turned over in his grave from what that church has become. But it didn't happen overnight. A little bit, gradually it moved. Gradually it was accepted. Under excuses like, well, the young people's gotta, you know, they gotta have their music. Give me a Bible verse for that one. Or they gotta dress their way, it's their fad, their style. No, sin is sin. If it was sin in Grandpa's day, it's sin today. The Bible hadn't changed, and bless God, he hadn't changed, and right hadn't changed, and wrong hadn't changed. We've just started tolerating it. That's it. And that's happened in the churches. Did you see in the paper this week where the, and I know there's some good somewhat fundamental Methodist churches somewhere, but the big organization, we're talking about from the top. Hey, by the way, you know that's where the sin starts, and where the sin is tolerated is always at the top. It don't come from the bottom up, it comes from the top down every time. Did you see? You know, we just got through Easter. How many of you understand that the Protestant movement, we're not Protestant, we're Baptist, but the Protestant movement observes Lent. Now, some of you know what Lent means. I don't have time to teach you, but during Lent, they agree to give up something for Lent. Did you see where the Methodist hierarchy was encouraging the membership to give up alcohol for the 40 days of Lent? Hey, that was news. I didn't invent it. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you about it. Give up alcohol. How about giving it up, period? How about getting rid of it completely? What in the world is a believer, a Christian, drinking the devil's alcohol for, with all the craziness that it brings and the damage it does, but we're going to give it up for Lent? It's a crazy thing that's happening today, folks. Gradually moved in to where they were not even ashamed for the paper to report such a thing. When John Wesley came over here from England in the early years, and he's given credit for the Methodist movement, and he was down in Georgia preaching, and he was preaching in a building to a bunch of Methodist people, and the crowd was pretty good, and there was a great society lady. She was all fancied up for the meeting, and she was Miss So-and-so, and she was sitting there, but Wesley knew about some sin in her life, and they were serving communion, and so when the wine glass or when the juice glass came by, she started to take it, and Wesley went over and slapped it out of her hand. Amen. Said, repent and get right with God before you take of the Lord's Supper. Amen. Can you imagine that happening in his namesake today? No, you can't. But that's where they were at that time. How far have they moved? Now we're considering giving up alcohol for Lent. Help yourself out there. If I said anything that's not true, challenge me on it. I was expressing my views kindly one time here several years ago. And the churches I was expressing about, their lack of stand on abortion, their liberalism in their literature. Preacher called me and he said, we're going to sue you. I said, fine, I'd like to put this news out before the whole world. Let's get it on the front page. He changed his mind. Truth will stand. The truth is today, gradually truth has been so compromised that nobody recognizes what has happened to it anymore. That's awful, but it's happened in our churches. The thing about the old country preacher that somebody asked him said, you know, we go to the big church uptown. Said, the preacher up there never preaches on hell. How come you preach so much on hell out here in the country? The old preacher said, well, you see, I never did have a chance to go to those big schools and learn how to extinguish the Bible. Yeah, You have to go to college to get as dumb as the crowd is today. That's the truth. To deny the Bible, that's exactly what a lot of them are there for. I hate to say it, but it's true. No, sir. A lot of it has gradually moved in our churches. I mentioned music a while ago. The boys at the radio station will tell you, preacher calls every now and then and says, well, I don't quite like that song. You know why? Because I don't want the little foxes to get in. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine, the Bible tells us. And they get into the little place. And next thing you know, it's just a little contemporary. And next thing you know, it's just got a little beat in it. And then the next thing you know, it's a little more beat. And it's a little more contemporary. And the next thing you know, it's moved. Gradually, but moved. And that's the danger we have to look out for. Standards. Boy, when's the last time you heard a good rip-roaring sermon on separation? No separation preaching anymore. Listen, Christians, we ought to look like Christians. We ought to dress like Christians. We ought to talk like Christians. We ought to even smell like Christians. Amen? What's wrong with that? It used to be all right. Somebody gradually got to working on our minds and on our thinking. And I smell suffer every time I think about who done it. It's the devil himself that's moved in. I want to say to you, it's creeping in. You and I better be on guard. Personally, do you know we have people on the roll at Landmark Baptist Church that used to would not have thought of missing a church service? But then they found out they could miss Wednesday night and God didn't kill them. And they miss Sunday night. And then they could miss Sunday morning. And finally another Sunday morning. And finally maybe come once a month. Gradually they moved. Now where are they at? Now you let tragedy hit big enough and there'll be the path to my door. Pull out your magic wand, preacher. Fix this thing. I can't fix in an instant what you let in over a long period of time. And though it come in gradually, it come in. And you let it happen. And you'll reap for it every time. Every time. Our personal problems generally build gradually. Oh, I know the sudden thing can happen. I understand that. But your marriage will go bad over the little things. Your relationship with your kids will go bad over the little things. You'll let them slip. Gradually tolerate this, tolerate that, and the next thing you know is, I don't know what happened to my daughter. I don't know what happened to my son. I raised him right. Well, how'd you control the little things? And I understand you have some limited power after they get older, but I want to tell you what, you better program them while you can program them. You better fill their hearts and minds while you can. I'm looking at people out here that are a result of being faithful to God, but you know where they learned to be faithful to God? From mom and dad, from the family. That's where they learned it, and they're still doing it. Now the question is, can we pass it on to our kids? And it may be a harder time to do it. Maybe. That's still no excuse. We got to try. We got to try and try hard. And if we're going to try, we're going to have to watch out for the creeping gradualism that's going to slip in and run us if we're not careful. You see, a lot of folks have lost their fear of God. But it come gradual. Just not overnight, it come gradual. I know what some are thinking right now. In Radio Land or wherever, I heard about a fellow this week said he didn't believe, that he loved to hear my preaching, but thought I was wrong on the old Bible. And something else, I forget. Well, you know what happened with him? He probably started out believing the old Bible. But gradually, question marks, gradually moved and slipped. A little bit at a time, probably what happened. Almost guarantee that's what happened. Some folks have lost the fear of God, and they're thinking, well, preacher, don't you understand grace? I do, but I don't know if you do. Preacher, I got grace. I don't have to be into that legalism. It's not legalism unless you're trusting works for salvation. Not legalistic preaching when you tell Christians they ought to look like Christians and sound like them. That's not legalism. That's good old-fashioned Bible standards of righteousness. That's what it is. But what they do is use grace for an excuse to excuse sin. If you wanted to look at it, I quoted it a while ago, Jude chapter 4. Let me read it to you. Jude, verse 4. For there are certain men crept in, there's that creeping thing I'm talking about, crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, here's the statement, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. Don't let the big word throw you. If you don't know what it means, I'll guarantee you people around you, and I hope not you, are practicing it all the time. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness means that I'm going to indulge wrong actions in my life. I'm going to condone them. It deals with, in fact, if you look it up in Webster, you'll find it deals with animal lust, beastly lust. You see, the guy that's into sexual sin says, but under the grace of God, I can do it. See? It's an excuse, turning the grace of God. And the enemies of old-fashioned Baptist people that stood on the grace of God, they'll say, well, if I was saved by grace, then I could sin like I want to. You got the wrong idea about grace. And you're trying to turn it into lasciviousness, to excuse sinful, lustful, deceitful, animalistic ways. See? Now, personally, problems creep in on us if we're not careful. You know, the Bible tells us we ought to judge sin in our life quickly. We have the Lord's Supper. We talk about judging ourselves. It's not just at the Lord's Supper. We need to judge ourselves all the time. Spurgeon, I believe it was, said we need to keep short accounts with God. You know what he meant? He meant don't let your charge account build up. Clean it out every day. Amen. Before you go to sleep, confess that sin. Apologize to God for it. Repent of it. I'm not going to do it anymore, Lord. Forgive me. That's the short account we need to keep. That's 1 John 1:9. He'll forgive us if we confess them, repent of them, turn from them. You know, we've come to this time that things have crept in gradually, where nothing's become sacred. Everybody's doing it, Mama. Everybody's saying it. Do you remember when we could watch Andy Griffin and Dick Van Dyke, and you didn't mind watching that with your family? There was not going to be any sexual innuendos. There was not going to be any bad words said. Your kids could learn the moral value of the story. Try that again. There's very few things on TV you and a decent family can sit down and watch together. Unless your conscience has been seared, you will be embarrassed by what you see and what you hear. Amen. See, it's moved in so gradual. You say, oh, preacher, this would be all right. This would be all right. Uh-huh, we've been moved that way. We've been moved that way. We don't judge it like we used to. But I want to tell you something. God has never lowered his standard. He's never changed his book. And what a shock it's going to be even for believers at the judgment seat of Christ to find out God didn't gradually move. He's still where he always was. Amen. There's going to be some shock coming to this old world. Can you imagine the shock of the rapture when it takes place? Can you just imagine that? What a shock. Well, I never believed it. Is that going to stop it? Of course not. Well, I've seen even among churches and even among some pretty good works of God, gradualism, move them. Move them. Hunt in the back door. If
finding a way out, dodging the penalties that we used to preach on. Hey, folks, hell hadn't moved. It hadn't moved gradually. It's still there. In fact, the Bible says it's enlarged itself. It's there. It's there. If you're lost, I want to tell you something. If you're lost, you can be in hell as sudden as that. You can leave this building tonight. You can get in your car. You can go right down that road. And you can see some headlights like you see every night when you travel. But all of a sudden, at the last minute, you realize those headlights are on my side of the road. And when those two forces to come together, you can open your eyes in hell just that quick. Just that quick. Not gradual. Sudden. Quick. Ah, now, preacher, are you going to tell me it hadn't happened? The Bible tells me in Luke 16 that the rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torment, suddenly. Not gradually, suddenly. He didn't walk up to that fire and say, I think I'll just stick my toe in and see how hot it is. He was fully in it. Suddenly. Not gradually. Suddenly. I want to say to you, the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. I want to tell you something. It can happen sudden. Are you saved? Then I want to say to you as a believer, if you are saved, there's going to be a shock at the judgment seat to see that God didn't move with the world. He didn't change his standards with the world. He didn't gradually ease up on some things that we think today that we ought not be so tough on. Truth is, there's going to be a lot of shame at the judgment seat. And I think a lot of shock, even with God's people. I want to say to you today, I believe, and if it don't happen, I'll keep believing it till it does happen. I do believe Jesus is coming soon. But you know what? I ought to want to live for him if I don't think he's coming for 50 years. But the fact I do believe he's coming and coming soon ought to encourage me that if I've made it this far, I can keep on going and not start gradually moving away from God. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads and stand. Father, thank you for the word of God, that it don't change. Thank you, Father, for the people that don't change, that are still sticking by it. And Father, in a world that has used every trick, and the biggest trick is to gradually move people a little bit at a time so they don't wake up and resist. Father, I pray tonight that you'd help us. Summer's coming, Lord, our church right here. If we're not careful, they'll gradually move. They'll start missing more. They'll start cutting corners more. They'll gradually move, and some of them, Lord, will move so far. By the time summer's over, it'll be very hard for them to get back where they were, even where they're at tonight. Father, there's some right now that should have been and could have been in your house today. But they made excuse, that excuse they would not have made a few years ago. But their convictions have gradually moved. Lord, they're doing things that they never dreamed they'd do because they gradually moved. Dear God, help us. Help us, as the Bible says, to stand, to stand. Father, I pray for our congregation. I pray for our people. That, Lord, we stand knowing that at any moment we could be called to face you. Any moment the trumpet could sound. And, Lord, I want to be found faithful, and I know many others do. I pray for the invitation right now. I pray for whatever you've spoken to somebody's heart, that they would surrender and do it tonight. If it's where they're at making a decision or coming to the altar, and, Lord, if it's here just one that's unsaved tonight, I pray they'd come forward and receive the Lord Jesus. And I pray the ones that have received him would make a new vow to live for him and not let the world gradually move them away. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll step to the front. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we sing.